a running commentary of insults.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace. I'm Tess Vigeland. Officials at the European Union are accusing U.S. trade representatives of a, quote, running commentary of insults over the latest round of negotiations at the World Trade Organization. The so-called Doha round is now 2 years behind schedule, and so far there's been no breakthrough in the latest talks. The U.S. and EU have not been able to agree on what to do about agricultural subsidies. U.S. authorities have arrested the British CEO of an online gambling company. They've also charged 10 other executives from the company and 6 other organizations with racketeering. The move comes just a week after the U.S. House passed a bill cracking down on internet betting. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
David Carruthers, head of BetOnSports.com, was arrested as he changed planes in Dallas. He was on his way to Costa Rica, where his online gambling firm is based. The company operates offshore because internet betting is illegal in the US, but BetOnSports has directly marketed its services at American customers. Analyst Tim Steer says Carruthers' arrest has triggered a big sell-off in the shares of internet betting companies listed in London.
The vast majority of these stocks do most of their business in the US, and this charge or these charges will raise a very, very big question mark over the sustainability of that business.
Following last week's extradition of 3 British bankers to the US, the arrest in Dallas has also fanned a more general anxiety in Britain about the perils of doing business with America. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
A group of House Democrats has dubbed today Donut Hole Day. Sounds like a tasty time to be on Capitol Hill. But the moniker refers to the temporary cutoff of Medicare recipients when their annual prescription drug costs reach a certain amount. Democrats say the average beneficiary will reach the cutoff today. But as Helen Palmer reports from the health desk at WGBH, there's little consensus on how many people the problem will swallow.
The donut hole's meant to control government costs for the new Medicare drug program. Once seniors' total drug costs reach $2,250, they must pay the next $2,850 out of pocket. Then the benefit kicks in again.
We're talking about somewhere between 4 and 8 million people who will have a period of time in which they have no prescription drug coverage, even though they're paying premiums.
Marilyn Moon of the American Institutes for Research. The non-profit Kaiser Family Foundation reckons 7 million seniors will reach the gap before year's end. But the Healthcare Leadership Council, an industry group, says less than 3.5 million will face the coverage gap. The council's Michael Freeman.
The majority of those people in the coverage gap had no drug coverage at all before the Medicare drug benefit was enacted.
Freeman says even with the costs they face now, seniors will be about $2,000 better off than before the benefit kicked in. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
The old gray lady is shrinking. The New York Times says it's cutting more than 1,000 jobs and cutting 1.5 inches off the paper's size. That would mean 11% less of all the news that's fit to print. But the Times executive editor Bill Keller says the paper will add pages in an effort to make up for the loss. The changes are expected to save $42 million a year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow tacked on 8 points. The Nasdaq ticked up 0.3 of a point. The S&P sagged 1 point. This is Marketplace. Detroit automakers, as you have no doubt heard, are struggling mightily to turn a profit off 4 wheels. Meanwhile, over in Milwaukee, Harley-Davidson is doing just fine on 2. Chuck Kornbach has more.
Harley-Davidson said yesterday second quarter earnings rose 3%, pepped up by a double-digit increase in international sales. Japan and Europe seem especially interested in the big bike with the twin-cam engine. Analyst Tom Graves of Standard & Poor's says the market for Harleys overseas is still relatively small compared to the U.S., but he says the company is working to improve worldwide distribution networks.
There will be better opportunities for market share gains overseas and outside the U.S. than there are in the U.S. itself. I mean, the U.S., I see, is a relatively mature market for Harley.
In June, the company opened a dealership in China and plans to launch others in India and Vietnam. In Milwaukee, I'm Chuck Kornbach for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. And by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know. Now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Tess Viglund. You know all those pennies collecting dust in glass jars? You might want to cash them in soon. One penny now costs 1.4 cents to produce. So today, Congressman Jim Colby of Arizona will propose ridding ourselves of the penny. Alex Cohen has more.
Though pennies are coated in copper, zinc accounts for nearly 98% of each coin, and the price of zinc has soared in recent years due to increased demand from China and India. Mark Weller of the group Americans for Common Sense says its research indicates most consumers want to keep the penny and are fearful of what rounding to the nearest nickel may lead to.
Almost 80% are concerned that merchants would increase prices to compensate for losses due to rounding.
Weller's group is funded in part by the zinc industry. At the same time, Colby, the congressman behind the anti-penny legislation, represents a state rich in copper. That metal is the main ingredient of the nickel, which stands to increase in circulation if the penny is retired. I'm Alex Cohen from Marketplace.
The penny is not the only item facing inflation these days. We get figures from the government later this morning about how much it cost manufacturers to make their products last month. That's inflation at the wholesale level. Commentator J.D. Samant argues it's not just the price of tangible things that's going up.
If you think things are expensive, consider non-things. Case in point, my gym. Now, I've always felt there's something, how shall we say, extraordinary about gym membership representatives. I find them Svengali-like, these absurdly fit people who take my money once a year, always in a little room and always with a frightening conviviality. Anyhow, I called and here's how the conversation went. Regular membership is $70 a month, sir. Great, sign me up. Pro membership is $75. What's the difference? Well, sir, pro membership comes with parking. How much is parking? $275 an hour. Where do your regular members park? Nobody gets it. Gets what? Regular membership, sir. Eureka! No wonder I had shriveled before membership reps. They were a breed of geniuses, all of whom were apparently graduates of the Vito Corleone School of Product Pricing. Even better than an offer I couldn't refuse, she'd made me a non-offer I could refuse by offering both the thing itself and a non-thing. Because regular membership was, if you planned on spending more than 2 hours at the gym, a non-thing. So, inspired by the product pricing brilliance of gym membership reps, I've written memos to corporations. To Coca-Cola, increase the price of regular Coke and call it premium. Then, fill the shelves next to Coke Premium with regular Coke, which has a minor change reflected in its new tagline. It's like Coke, but without the bubbles. People will happily pay the extra 10 cents for the new thing because, hey, the thing is only a dime more than the non-thing. Moving on, memo to Boeing. How much is the 747? 50 million? Okay, here's how the gym people would do it. Increase the price to 70 million and call it the plus. But continue offering the old 747 at 50. I can just hear the sales pitch. The 747? Oh, it's great. It's got everything the 747 Plus has. Everything except wheels.
J.D. Samant lives and writes in San Francisco. And I'm Tess Viglund. Thanks for being with us.
American Public Media.
Next time on Marketplace, how far...
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.